Well, think Miriam, Kansas these days, and lots of folks think IKEA. That's the big, still new furniture box store sitting at Miriam Village along I-35, just south of Johnson Drive. But Miriam is a lot more than just that, and here to talk to us about it is Mayor Ken Sissom. He's for one of our regular visits with area mayors. And Mayor Sissom, welcome to Up to Date. It's nice to have you.
Well, thank you very much, Scott. It's a pleasure to be on today. Well, what can I do for you?
Well, how has the IKEA store met your expectations when it comes to traffic and sales, Mayor?
Well, our conversations with them have been very positive. They say they've met all their goals, met or exceeded all their goals in terms of sales. You know, initially there was some concern about whether or not that intersection would be able to support such a large store, but you know, they did quite a bit of study, traffic study exploration on that issue before they opened up, and they assured us that it would. And of course, you know, except for the fact that, you know, we had 76,000 customers in the first 5 days, which is, you know, not something that was going to repeat itself ever again, probably, and there wasn't enough intersection for that. But since then, everything's really slowed down, and it's moving very nicely. We've made some changes in the intersections up there, and we've had almost no problems with IKEA. Their anniversary date for their opening is coming up September 10th. So everything's moving very well for us.
You know, Mayor, I know the store sits in a tax increment financing district. So what benefits does Miriam derive from this massive business that's in your midst?
Well, in terms of the city of Miriam, there's a number of enhancements. I suppose the one that most people are aware of is that we make money off of the sales there. Mm-hmm. So we get a portion of the sales tax, as does the county, as does the state and the school districts and everyone else. And that's that's where we make most of the benefit from IKEA being there. But there's a number of side benefits. We've had businesses relocate, move. You know, we got a development area there underneath, right below IKEA now, which is almost 100% built out. It wasn't before they started, and we're starting to see some of the areas around IKEA change. We had an aging 7-Eleven, for example, now is being redeveloped on Johnson Drive. Mm-hmm. We got the McDonald's up there. I mean, there's just a lot of retail that's kind of come into that area, and it's reshaping the way things look around there, and everything's, you know, kind of new and more oriented towards retail in that general area.
So the sales tax that IKEA is spinning off is roughly what for Miriam?
Well, we get the way the deal came down. You have to remember that it was a $90 million project to build that store on that spot, and that spot was not an easy place to put an IKEA store. If you've driven up there and you see how high it sits, you recognize, you know, obviously there's some changes that had to take place in order to put that massive structure on that area. And it's kind of a small area too for a store of that size. That's why they built the raised parking, for example. Mm-hmm. So basically the way IKEA looked at it was they were willing to come into our city and put an IKEA store there, but they recognized it was going to cost them about $19 million more. And these are real rough figures, by the way, but $19 million more to build that structure there than it would if they built it out, let's say, on a flat piece of property out by the Legends or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they wanted us to basically pay for the $19 million difference. And we worked out a deal where we share sales tax with them. In other words, for every dollar of sales tax we give them 50 cents
mm-hmm.
Until that $19 million is paid off, and then we get, of course, the full dollar after that.
So right now, after you're paying that 50%, what's Miriam realizing as a result of the sales tax?
You mean in terms of dollars?
Yes.
Well, that information actually is not available. It's an agreement cities make with businesses not to disclose their revenues. It's some kind of state thing. But
yeah.
Let's just say it's in the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year that we actually see. So, it's not a small amount. And again, that brings people not only to IKEA, but all to our restaurants, our hotels. But getting back to the sales tax, I think the most important part is we talked about this, and we wanted to make sure that our citizens were not going to suffer for too much for IKEA coming there in terms of them losing property taxes. So we went the sales tax route. And the beauty of that is the vast majority of the people that come and shop at our IKEA do not live in Merriam. So therefore, we're bringing in sales tax money from outside the city to pay for the IKEA that's there.
Yeah.
So,
you know, Mayor, we just had the mayor of Mission on, and that's the town in northeast Johnson County that adjoins yours. Mission is struggling with a huge business vacancy with its Gateway project, you know, right there at Shawnee Mission Parkway and Johnson Drive. In Merriam, you guys struggled with a vacancy on the IKEA site for several years. How long will it take for your city to recover from that vacancy?
Well, and I don't know if that's something I could answer, because that did remain kind of an unused shopping center from 2007 to 2014.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's dollar amounts that could be calculated by someone much more knowledgeable about that than I. We basically built the infrastructure for that shopping center, and it's still in place and in use. So I guess that money really wasn't wasted. It just wasn't. We weren't getting a return for the investment early on. The city's, as far as sales tax, I mean, we're collecting more sales tax now than we ever have in our history, so we're certainly not hurting from the lack of that shopping center in any way. You know, while that was not being used, we had a number of other developments that came to fruition. You know, we have Lexus, we've got Toyota, we've got Infiniti, we've got all the car dealerships down there, and a lot of people don't know this, but we probably make as much money off of Toyota than as we do at IKEA.
Hmm.
So revenue is not really a problem for us in terms of operations. We're certainly in very good shape. The loss of we really had high hopes for the shopping center. Of course, you know, then we had the downturn in the economy, and that pretty much stopped any progress on them being able to fill it up. But I think we've, you know, rebounded pretty hardly, so we're not in bad shape.
We're visiting with the mayor of Merriam, Kansas. His name is Ken Sissom. You know, you've got a neat downtown, Mayor. Tell us about it.
Well, our original downtown's on Merriam Drive. It's located north of Johnson Drive. And, of course, that whole area was, that's where the town was built back in the 1800s when the railroad came in and decided to put a depot there. We got a post office eventually and a store. And then, of course, a lot of old shops. That was kind of a place. You know, if you go back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, it was a place you got your car fixed. It was a local, you know, grocery stores, that kind of thing. So we got some really neat old buildings down there, and we have you know, some real unique businesses down there. And it, you know, that's our downtown. That's our history. It's
sort of a hidden gem, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of things. There's some things down there that you're not going to find anywhere else in the city, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a business down there that makes violins. They do, you know, they make some of the finest musical instruments in the country down there. And, you know, but it is, you know, it's a place that I can remember when growing up as a kid. We used to go down there then. And, of course, it's much nicer looking than it was down there. But a lot of it hasn't changed. The buildings are still there, and they're still in use. We still do an awful lot of auto repair, which is kind of the nature of our city ever since automobiles were around, I guess.
Yeah. Let's turn to a different issue, Mayor, trash collection. Merriam is believed to be the last of the northeast Johnson County cities that doesn't provide for trash collection for the entire city by, you know, engaging in a contract for trash and recycling services. So residents are pretty much on their own. Does that mean that you could have two houses side by side, each with a different trash hauler?
Yes, it does. And actually, the city limits the number of haulers that can come into the city, but it's a broad enough list that that we see five or six different companies in operation in the city.
Well, why do you do it that way?
Well, basically, we leave it up to the individual to contract with the hauler that they prefer. In some cases, they go with price or services. The city hasn't been involved. We actually looked at that, I think it was about 8 years ago. It was before I was mayor. The information was put out to the residents about the fact that we were thinking about going to single hauler. But we had so much backlash from the public that they backed away from that as an idea.
So people like it this way.
They like the, well, I mean, I'm going to say they all like it this way, but there are a number of them that do not want it to change from the way that it is now. They want to have the freedom of choosing trash companies. I've heard from a number of residents that don't contract with a trash company. They take all the trash to work with them, and then there's some people that are loyal to certain businesses. So it's kind of a thorny issue. We've just started looking into it again, and the reason I know this, we got kind of reminded of what happened the last time we did it, and it wasn't a pretty sight.
So do you have trash trucks on your street basically every day of the week as different haulers have different days of collection?
I don't know about, every day of the week. I know there's certainly there are neighborhoods that have it 2 or 3 days of the week that do. And the other problem with our city is we have homes associations, which would be excluded from, in most cities they're excluded from the trash single hauling, single hauler system. But in our city, we're a little bit more unique, too, because we're only 4.5 square miles in size.
Mm-hmm.
But within that 4.5 square miles, we have over 600 businesses. And businesses are not included on the single hauler system either. So it's a lesser issue in our city because, we're not a residential city like Prairie Village or Fairway or Roland Park as much. It has a lesser impact on us than it would be those cities.
Another hot issue in Miriam, Kansas, feral cats, Mayor, and you've got a bunch of them. What are you doing about feral cats?
Well, feral cats are not new. They are up in the areas, mostly areas that have wooded parks nearby. Of course, we have a Streamway Trail. We have plenty of those areas for them to thrive in. These are, obviously these are cats that are not anybody's pets, and they've just become wild. So we looked into, we used to capture them. We used to take them to our local animal care facility. They can never be adopted out because they're wild and they're very dangerous. They're much like any other wild creature. So they used to just, have to euthanize them. That was the way we controlled their population. But most of the animal facilities now do not euthanize. So that means that we have to basically pay to have them sit in a cage for the rest of their lives at not a cheap rate. Believe me, they charge us daily. It's almost like staying in a hotel. I remember 1 year, I used to be the police chief in Merriam, and one year I was in charge of animal control. And 1 year we pretty much went through the animal control budget in the first 4 months because of feral cats. So we just had to make a choice to quit picking them up and quit taking them in there because, obviously it was costing us too much money and we weren't really solving the problem. And then the other idea behind is that Kansas, the state of Kansas kind of looks at them as wild animals, just like a raccoon or a squirrel or anything else. And most cities have backed away from trapping these wild animals and doing anything with them because they're kind of part of nature. And you're supposed
well,
to
is the population
alone.
Exploding in Miriam?
I don't think it is. I know that we had a gentleman come to one of our meetings talking about the number that he saw in one of our parks. But the thing about that, the thing that concerned him the most, and again, this is kind of a sad story, but he said he saw them around, but what disturbed him the most was at night he could hear them being stalked by these other wild animals like foxes. So it was, that was the disturbing part.
Wow.
For him is just to hear that nature was taking care of itself in the middle of the night around his house, and wanted to know if the city could do anything about it. But, really, there as much as we'd like to, it's just a matter of not only just economics, but just what's right and how difficult it would be to trap some of them.
Mayor Sisson, you just had a World War II plaque stolen from Miriam. It marked the site of I didn't know this history. It marked the site of a July 1944 crash when the plane was on a training mission from Lincoln, Nebraska, before it was due to head to England to help the Allies in World War II. I'm reading from the Star here, and the Star wrote, "But on a low pass over Miriam, something went wrong. A wing clipped a rooftop, and the plane broke up with the fuselage landing among the houses. Three crewmen died. Three others, as well as some people on the ground, survived with injuries." Why would someone want to steal that plaque?
That is a great question.
You don't know either.
This plaque wasn't made out of any metal that you could sell. I mean, I can understand if it was 100 pounds of bronze or brass or copper or something like that. But, I mean, I think it was made out of pewter. It was really something. And the sad thing about it is there was a lady behind this effort that basically used some of her own money. She was also the past president of the Merriam Historical Association. So they had some money, and they bought this, and the city helped them and whatnot. And she was actually there when the around when the crash occurred. She grew up in that area. She knew the people that it involved. And I don't know why anybody would steal it other than it's a trophy on somebody's wall somewhere, I guess. We're in the process of replacing it.
I was just going to say, you're going to replace it? Yeah.
Yeah, and the citizens will pay for the replacement. And I know our public works director, talked to him about it. He's going to try to make it so it's a little harder to steal. But
yeah. Mayor, just maybe a final point. Is being mayor, Miriam's about 11,000 people, is being mayor what you thought it was going to be?
Yeah, it is. And I've had any disappointments or surprises. You know, I was on the police department here for 26 years, and as a police chief for the last 13 years, I attended council meetings, every council meeting. And after I retired in 2005, at the end, I continued attending council meetings. So when I became mayor in 2008, I had attended every city council meeting with the exception of maybe four or five since 1992. So there were no surprises with me on the mayor's job. In fact, I really didn't have an interest in being a councilman. I wanted to be the mayor. I thought I could make a bigger difference, and I really have enjoyed the job. It's a passion because Miriam is my hometown. I wasn't born here, but my son was, and my wife and I have lived there for many years. So it's been a great pleasure to be the mayor. I hope to continue on for a few more years.
Well, my sons and I for many years took part in your annual turkey shoot at your community center over there, and we'd occasionally win a turkey to take home, which was a great thrill. So I have great memories, fond memories of Miriam, Kansas.
Yes, well, I'm glad to hear that.
Well, Mayor Ken Sissom, thank you so much for taking some time. I really appreciate it.
All right. Anytime.
Take care, Mayor.
Bye-bye.